Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Who may know the mind of the Lord? Who refers to the natural man in verse 14? What part of the natural man knows the mind of the Lord? What part of the carnal man knows the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct the Lord? Instruct there is sumbibese. It means to join together or knit together. It's very different than what we usually think of. But what it's really saying is, who has known, what part of the natural man, what part of the carnal man, what part of the old sin nature has known the mind of the Lord, that that natural man or carnal man should be knit together with Christ? But we, Paul says, but we have the mind of Christ. So he's drawing a contrast there between the carnal man and the spiritual man. The one cannot be knit together with Christ because he doesn't know Christ's mind. The spiritual man possesses Christ's mind, and that's more than being knit together. If I possess a mind, it's my mind. I cannot possess a mind that doesn't belong to me. But Paul is saying here, we have the mind of Christ. It belongs to us. That means that we really are that Ephesians 2:15, one new man. And the evidence of that is that we share his mind. And so we can be not only knit, but we are one. But the person who is carnal, the natural man, in his experience, even if he's positionally saved, but in his experience, he has no ability to live in the oneness that he may possess if he is saved. If he is not saved, he certainly doesn't have oneness to begin with. So through the mind of Christ, I experience my oneness with God. Now, Habakkuk 2:4 says, the soul that is lifted up is not upright in that person with the uplifted soul, but the just shall live by faith. And so, the natural mind is an uplifted mind. The word there in the original language means swollen. The soul that is swollen. That means that to that soul, their opinions, their own thinking, contrary to the mind of Christ, is very big in their estimation. It's a swollen natural mind. Or their emotions encompass everything. Everything is dealt with regarding or in reference to their emotions. So their emotions are swollen. Their self-image, whatever it is, any one of the five parts of the soul. Maybe they're like the Pharisees in their volition, where they practice everything that is just so in the law. Like Jesus said, they strain a gnat but swallow a camel. It's swollen. You see, they don't possess the mind of Christ. But the just, who are the just? The just are those who live by faith. The just are those who are cleansed by the blood positionally, but it becomes their experience through faith. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that it's faith that causes it to prosper us, to increase us. That which we have heard. The mind of Christ causes us to be increased through faith. And so we enter into the experience of the one new man by the mind of Christ. If we are in the natural man, albeit if we're born again, we are positionally saved, but we're not experiencing our oneness with Christ, and our experience is no different from that of the heathen. Our words will be no different from those of the heathen. Our practices will be no different from those of the heathen. You can notice sometimes when you deal with Christians, if it's like dealing with the world, or if it's dealing through the mind of Christ. If it's like dealing with the world, then you will have all the fruits of the old sin nature, as they're brought out in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. But we have the mind of Christ, Paul says. We have not only a claim to being the one new man, we have the experience of being the one new man. And in the experience of being the one new man, I have a result in my life. I have the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit in me that connects me tangibly to Christ. Remember, Jesus said, it's profitable for you that I go away. It's expedient. It works better for you. He said, because if I go away, then I'm going to send you the Comforter. And who is it but the Holy Spirit that brings us into that union with the Savior to make us that one new man? That one new man is a powerful reality. It's not a theology. It's a practical reality. But we have to get beyond our own sight in order to be able to appreciate, live in, think in, utilize, have it be our frame of reference, have it be our identity. Only through the Holy Spirit can any of that take place in that practical reality. Without the Holy Spirit and mixing of faith, it's a reality, but no longer a practical reality. Only a positional truth and not experiential. In John 8:28, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And we know that it's the Father who sent him. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. By the way, when you see something that pleases God, for example, in Revelation 4:11, we were created for his pleasure. That word please or pleasure is referring to the will of God. We were created for his will. Over here it says, I always do those things that are his will. Well, where is the will of God represented, manifested in his mind? And so what Jesus is saying here is, I have the Father's mind. And it even says there in verse 28, in the last part of the verse, but as my Father has taught me, as my Father has taught me, that word taught is edidiaxon. And it means to be enjoined. That is to say, to be directed. So as the Father directs me, how does the Father direct me? The same way that my thoughts direct me. Why? Because he had the mind of the Father. Well, Paul tells us there in 2 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. And in the very same way that Jesus had the mind of the Father in 1 Corinthians 11:3, we have the mind of Christ. Because the Father, God, was the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of the man. So through this, because we have him as our head, we have his thoughts. But Christ has the Father as his head, and he has the Father's thoughts. So what it's really telling us is that we have the thoughts of the fullness of who God is. Because if we have Christ's thoughts, if he is our head, and Christ has the Father's thoughts, because the Father is his head, then the Father is our head. We have the fullness of God's thoughts through his word as the initiating force for our lives. This is the importance of doctrine. Without doctrine, we have none of this. Doctrine is simply being trained in the thoughts of God for any given circumstance, any given situation. That's why we call it categorical doctrine. Remember, doctrine is different than theology. Theology is categorical word of God. But doctrine incorporates theology put together with application. And now we have something that is beyond theology. Now our theology, when there is application, becomes life. And it becomes life in the very same way that the thoughts of the mind produce a response and an activity in the members of our bodies. My mind directs my hand. My mind directs my feet, my fingers. It's all out of a response to the thoughts of God. Even my very thoughts are directed and placed within my mind. My hand does not have independent thoughts from my head, nor do my feet. But in anything that is the will of the mind, in the will of the head, that body responds. And likewise with us, anything that is the will of the mind, the will of the head, the body responds. The body doesn't try to respond. My hand's not worrying about whether my mind is communicating with it. Simply by being in an organic union with my head, my hand will respond to the will of the head. My hand doesn't strive. It doesn't struggle. It doesn't get legalistic. It doesn't say, if I bend my fingers 15 times at such and such an hour, then I'm going to please the head. Because that's what legalism actually is. It has nothing to do with the head. In fact, the very fact that I can bend my fingers at all indicates that there is an organic union with the head. The difference between that and legalism is legalism would come out as perhaps a twitch. Something that doesn't incorporate the head. That is within the hand in and of itself, but independent of the head. In John 15 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you," doctrine. You are clean through doctrine. "How has doctrine cleansed me? Doctrine has given me the mind and the life of Christ." By giving me His mind, it necessarily also gives me His life. "Abide in me and I in you." There is our oneness. Abide in me and I in you. We are one with the Savior. We abide in Him. He abides in us. My hand abides in the same body that my mind abides in. We are one. "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." In other words, if there is no union between my hand and my head, then the fruit of the head's volition, of the head's will, of its desires, will not be manifested in that hand. It has to have an organic union with my head. If there is no manifestation of the will of the mind taking place in the hand, then that is an indicator that there is no organic union with the head. Now, it may still be a part of the same body, but the thoughts, the life of the mind is not flowing through the hand, and therefore the hand is incapable of responding. So what we're talking about is essentially a stroke. And so we have this hand and we have this mind, and whatever the mind desires, the hand produces. "I am the vine," in verse 5, "you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. Now, the body of Christ is the branches. one member of the body may in their experience separate themselves from the vine. But what did Jesus say in that chapter would happen? If a branch does not bring forth fruit, it is purged by the husbandman. What does that mean practically? That a believer who never manifests the life of the head through a faith response to that head, such that there is a fruit of that union with the head, is living in sin. Because in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So whatever production that branch possesses is independent of the head. But there is no spiritual fruit. There is no fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is no love. So what happens to that hand? Well, the same thing that happens to a believer who will not repent of sin. They are purged. That doesn't mean they're lost. It doesn't mean they're going to hell. But it may mean that they are removed from the vine. And when they're removed from the vine, they are taken home early. For us, it's the same way. We're just like those branches. There's an organic oneness that we have with the Father through the Son. There's an organic oneness we have with the Son because He is our head. Our responses in faith are really nothing more than a hand responding to the head. Now, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Word of God says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It does not say here the unsaved man. It says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That means that I can be a believer and not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Then I'm no different than an unbeliever in my experience. Only the spiritual man will receive that which comes from the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God giving me? Well, in John 16:13, He's guiding me in all truth. In John 17:17, His Word is truth. So what it's telling me is that the Spirit of God is imparting to me the mind of Christ. This is why the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because the natural man does not possess the mind that the Holy Spirit imparts. He is one with Christ in position only, but his position in a tangible sense is giving him absolutely no benefit. His benefit is only in eternity, but not here in time. And so that person will consider the ways of God, the things of the Spirit, to be foolishness. Now, by foolishness, I'm not saying that he'll necessarily consider them to be stupid. But he does not consider them to be wisdom to be utilized. And so you have a carnal believer. A carnal believer is one who does not practice the Holy Spirit imparted wisdom, because he does not consider that to be wisdom that should be utilized. Now, if he has any religious training at all, then he'll tell you that's not the case. But his practical decisions and his activities will show you that that is indeed the case. And so you have people speaking words that are apart from the Holy Spirit. You have people violating the blood of Christ or the finished work, because those are the things of the Holy Spirit. You have people who are living in murmuring or gossip. Those are the things of the natural man and not the things of the Spirit. You have people who will not practice love. By that I don't mean they don't have an emotion. Quite the contrary, they often have elevated emotions, but they don't have mercy or graciousness. Why? Because mercy and graciousness are things of the Spirit. And so, we have a situation where a person, as a believer, can refer to the Spirit-given mind of Christ as imparted through the Word of God as something that has no value. And when that takes place, they usually blame the messenger for giving an opinion. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 shows us that's not a possibility. Never blame the messenger if he's delivering the message. You cannot claim that it is an opinion of the preacher if the preacher is giving you chapter and verse. Now, if the preacher does not give you chapter and verse, maybe it is his opinion. But if the preacher is giving you chapter and verse, it's not his opinion, it's the Bible. And the Bible was given in 2 Timothy 3:16 by inspiration of God. And so you cannot claim that anybody is giving you opinion if they're giving you chapter and verse. Neither can he know them. So the person who is living in the natural mind, in the carnal mind, cannot receive doctrine. They cannot receive wisdom from above. Why? Because they're living in something that has separated itself from the one new man. They've divided themselves from Christ. And albeit they may go to heaven when they die, they are living as the heathen in the practical details of their life. Now, when we say something like that, I have no doubt that there are people who think, oh, heathen, like Israel and the golden calf. Heathen, like maybe the nations that Israel displaced. Maybe like some kind of strange worship of Baal or something like that. Heathen, like the average person with a white picket fence, a decent family, a respectable position in the community, who doesn't know Christ through Christ's mind. That's heathen. I didn't say they were a pagan. I said they're no different than an unbeliever. There's plenty of respectable unbelievers in societal terms. There's plenty of unbelievers with decent families, decent jobs, and ethical standards. But they're still unbelievers. If as a religious person, I live in my religious ethic, in my religious standard, if I have a nice family, a good home, I'm respectable in the community, but I don't know Christ through Christ's mind, I'm no different than the lost, who are also respectable in many cases. You see, these religious standards are really pretty useless. What we need is a union with the mind, our mind. The mind of the one new man. We need there to be a flow. It's like this. A biologist will tell you that fundamentally there's two types of neurons, nerve cells, going through the human body. There's efferent neurons and there's afferent neurons. Efferent neurons are neurons that go from the central nervous system, which includes the brain and the spinal cord, out to the remainder of the body. Afferent neurons go from the body to the central nervous system, essentially in this example to the brain. This is talking about in a spiritual sense, because we are a spiritually organic, united organism with our Savior. It's talking about doctrine and prayer. Doctrine is the impulses that are sent from the brain to the body. Biologically, you would say they are a spiritually efferent neural impulse. Prayer is the opposite. Prayer is a spiritually organic impulse going from the body to the brain. So doctrine and prayer are essentially the same thing in opposite directions. This is why when we pray through the Word of God. This is why Jesus said, if anyone asks me in my will, it will be done for them. What does that mean, in his will? Utilizing his thinking. It's like this. I have an itch. And my brain is aware of it. And my brain will often answer that itch unless there's a pressing need to not do so. Let's say that in order to take care of that itch, I know very well that it would result in an infection. So I will not answer the need of the hand to deal with the itch, because you know, for whatever reason, that there would be an infection if I dealt with the itch, and the itch is a lesser harm, because it's only a discomfort really, than an infection would be. However, the head may very well direct the other hand to scratch that itch. And so now we have an afferent activity resulting in an efferent response. We have a prayer activity resulting in God's response. God, give me wisdom. What does God do? Gives me a practical application through illumination from the Holy Spirit in utilizing the Word of God for my situation. So we had an afferent situation. There was an outward need and an efferent response. That's prayer. On the other hand, maybe the brain has a will. And the brain says, today I'm going out somewhere to the store or soul winning or whatever. The brain has a will. The remainder of the body, through the efferent initiations of the brain, respond to the will of that brain. Just like doctrine. Doctrine gives us the mind of Christ so that we may respond to that doctrine. That is to say, that we may respond to the mind of Christ, and we do it through faith. Faith is the nervous system of the one new man. And so by faith I pray. By faith I have an afferent initiation to the mind. And I send an impulse, if you will, to the mind by faith through prayer. By faith, the mind responds to the impulse that was sent to it, to that prayer. And there is a response, and God performs something on my behalf. Likewise, by faith, the Holy Spirit, utilizing the mind of Christ, reveals to me the will of God. And I respond to that will. It's the very same thing as the brain sending an impulse to the hand to pick up a glass. Faith is the spiritual nervous system of the one new man. I'm not saying that it's a spiritual nervous system of the believer. And the reason is because there are positional believers who are not experiencing the life of the one new man. And the reason why not is because their nervous system has been shut down. And it gets shut down through unbelief. If they had a functional nervous system, then they would be experiencing the life of the one new man. But they're not. They're living in unbelief. And I don't care what kind of a religious twist they may want to put to carnality, it is still unbelief. This is why doctrine is so imperative in our lives. Doctrine is the initiation of the mind to the remainder of the body. Take away doctrine and you have no godly initiation for the body to respond to. The head has been shut down. I've heard people say things like, this isn't about doctrine, my situation isn't about doctrine, or my response isn't about doctrine, it's about something else. And usually they'll excuse it with something religious, like, my response isn't about doctrine, it's about love. Now, how exactly you manage to separate the heart of God from the mind of God, I don't know. Because if you separate a person's heart from their head, you kill them. But that's what they'll claim. And the reason why they claim that is because they're operating in carnality, but they have to justify it with religion. No. It is always about doctrine if it's an activity of the body. And the reason is because that doctrine is the impulse of the mind to the body. If you have the body that is operating outside of doctrine, then you have a situation akin to Parkinson's disease or MS or one of these diseases that inhibit impulses going from the brain to the body. And then the body kind of does its own thing without the ability of the brain to regulate what the body does. We need doctrine. But we also need prayer. Because to be a properly functioning one new man, I need both efferent and afferent impulses going up and down the nervous system. So by faith, I receive the Word of God and respond to it. By faith, I come to my Savior and bring my petition. Two directions of the same thing, the spiritual nervous system. That nervous system is something we can't live without. In Genesis 3:7, the Word of God says that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves for themselves and made themselves aprons. What happened there? They were separated from their head, and they were now receiving impulses from elsewhere. You know what that's like? It is very similar to somebody putting their hand, let's say, on a burning stove. The impulse they receive will not go to their head. They will act without the head. Well, that's what Adam and Eve did. They acted without the head. They did it through a self-consciousness that came as a result of eating of a forbidden tree. Now, keep in mind that the word knowledge in the tree of knowledge of good and evil refers to knowledge gained by the empirical senses. Seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, that kind of thing. Feeling. Don't want to leave feeling out, because so many believers live in that emotional feeling element that dictates to them what their activities will be. Well, that is a person who is living in separation from the mind. And they have divided themselves from Christ, and in their practical experience, they are no longer the one new man. They are simply two halves of a dead organism. When they made themselves fig leaves, it was the result of a stroke. The mind of Christ was no longer sending impulses to the body they were. Because there were no impulses from the legitimate mind, the illegitimate mind came in, and it gave birth to the natural mind. And by living in the natural mind, they became self-conscious, not self-aware, but self-conscious. And their soul was lifted up. That's really what it means for a soul to be lifted up, is to be self-conscious. They saw they were naked, and now they had a response, apart from the mind of God, to produce a religious covering for themselves to deal with their self-consciousness. And this is exactly what the carnal or natural man does. They have a self-conscious response to some sort of situation. Temptation comes, and their self-conscious response, the temptation reaches their old sin nature. Or let's say that they see something, and their self-conscious response reaches their self-righteousness, and it results in judgment. Whatever it is, a self-conscious response will lead to an activity, but it's not an activity of faith in response to the head. It is an activity of a lack of faith. In other words, not utilizing the spiritual nervous system to the external stimuli, something like a hot plate. And so now you have what you could call defective spiritual reflexes or counterfeit spiritual reflexes. They work just like conviction, but they're of the devil. They say, this is that, and they judge, and they're of the devil. They say, something happened to me, and they don't forgive, and they're of the devil. They say, this is my thought, and they're not constrained by the Holy Spirit. Practically speaking, they're of the devil. All the while, they may be born again, but they're not operating in that faith that is the spiritual nervous system. So they operate outside of that. When that takes place, doctors call it a stroke. Adam and Eve were living in a spiritual stroke. And so they made themselves fig leaves because they were responding to their stroke. In verse 8, they separated themselves. Why? Because they heard the voice of God. What was the voice of God bringing? He was bringing the Word of God. What the voice of God always brings? Doctrine. The voice of God was bringing doctrine. They heard His voice and they hid themselves. And this is exactly what happens to the carnal man. The carnal man will hear doctrine and he separates himself from the source of that doctrine. Why? Because if I have a spiritual stroke, the result in practical terms will be that I separate myself from the head. So while I may be a part of the body, I'm completely independent of the head that regulates that body. And now we have the manifestation of a stroke. In order to be in full functioning organic union with Christ, there must be doctrine and prayer. There must be efferent neural activity and afferent neural activity. Or putting it in practical terms, there must be the initiation of the head to the body through doctrine, and there must be initiation to the head from the body through prayer. Now I have a healthy faith, a healthy spiritual nervous system. The Word of God tells us in Habakkuk 2:4 that the just shall live by faith. And in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That is to say, without faith, it is impossible to do His will. Why? If there is no spiritually healthy nervous system, if there is no faith, then His will not be executed in the body. If I step outside of doctrine, I depart from the head. If I don't pray, I cut off my head. And so as believers, in order to be healthy believers, we need prayer and doctrine. We need impulses from the head to the body, and we need impulses from the body to the head. And now we have doctrine efferently initiating to the body, and prayer afferently initiating to the head. What does the head do with the initiation? Responds to the body in an appropriately measured and conducted response. What does the body do with the efferent initiations of the head? Response to the head in the correct measure and the correct activity. If I start to scratch my hand because it itches, then I don't tear my hand off. That would not be correct measure. Then I simply keep scratching until the head says, okay, time to stop. How does the head know when it's time to stop? By the impulses that are sent from the portion of the body where the itch takes place. You see, there's an exchange constantly taking place between the believer and God. Prayer, doctrine, prayer, doctrine, prayer, doctrine, along the lines of faith. And you have a healthy one new man. Ephesians 1:22, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. One new man through a healthy life brought in by doctrine and prayer. In John 15, continuing in verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If you have my life, and doctrine is resident in you, that means the mind of God is resident in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. If you have the initiations of the head by means of doctrine, then you will ask what you will, you will send impulses back to the head, and it will be done for you. And you will bear much fruit. In this, my Father is glorified. The Father is glorified in the practical manifestation and outworking of the one new man. So shall ye be my disciples. By this you know that you are his disciples. Well, what did Jesus say was the mark of a disciple in John 13? Did you love? And here in verse 9 it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Well, in 1 John 4:8, God is love. As a matter of fact, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? The one that doesn't possess the heart of God cannot be the one new man, cannot know the God of his mind. In other words, he doesn't know God who gives him the mind of the one new man, because he doesn't possess God's heart. If I don't possess God's heart, how am I going to possess his mind? Because in the body you have both the mind and the heart. And the body cannot live without the mind and the heart. The body also cannot live without impulses going from the body to the mind. And the heart is one of the responses to those impulses. Here he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. What was the manifestation of that love? It was the blood of Christ. Well, what does the blood of Christ do for the one new man? In Leviticus 17:11, the function of the love of God, the heart, combined with the blood of Christ, the expression, what is passed through that heart, produces life for the flesh. And in other words, that's where I find life. Now, life is not just the fact that it's biologically living. Life is really manifested in the fact that I have a faith response to the head. Let me put it this way. Where there is no flow of blood to the hand cannot respond to the head. It doesn't matter how much the heart beats. But if there is no flow of blood to the hand will not respond to the head. The hand will feel like dead weight. And in fact, in its practical experience, for that period of time, it is dead weight. And so, when the love of God cleanses me from all unrighteousness, and I get to manifest and utilize that cleansing by having my conscience cleansed by that very same blood, I have the ability to respond to the head. And so the love of God with its full manifestation is where my ability to express the condition of one new man comes from. But it must be through doctrine so that I don't live in a stroke. Now we have a functioning believer, and they're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And that manifestation comes through a faith that works by love in Galatians 5:6. A spiritual nervous system that is living through the blood of Christ. A spiritual body that is living through the blood of Christ. The one new man is that body. Doctrine and prayer. The love of God. Doctrine and prayer and the love of God give us the experience of the one new man. I'm not much worth as a believer without those three things: doctrine and prayer and the blood of Christ. But in those three things, I become the fullness of who Christ is. Remember, the fullness of who He is manifested in his body. You can't see a person's mind, but you can see the expression of that mind in the body. You can't see the mind of Christ in us, but you can see the expression of that mind in the body, in our response to him through faith neurons. And the world sees one new man. Other believers see one new man. The Father sees one new man. And we start to experience our reconciliation. Amen?